You know that we are busy with a series, and the series is resurrection. And what the series is all about is about the Paschal mystery, which is about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the five stages or the five phases when it came to the death and resurrection and eventually the ascension of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Five stages and how it relates to our lives. So just as a quick recap, Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified, has got to do with the loss of something. And then Easter Sunday, the Sunday where he was resurrected, is where we receive new life for the new phase that we enter into. And then between his resurrection and his ascension, he was on earth for 40 days. He appeared to some people and he did some stuff and ministered to some people. The 40 days before ascension is the season where we adjust to the new that we received and we grieve the old. Now, those three phases we covered last week, Sunday. For those of you who missed it, just listen to our podcast. This is an incredible series. And it's really going to help many of us not to get stuck in a certain season or area of our lives. This is kind of a process that helps us to go through life, not bitter, but better. And some of you may have some family or may have some friends, or you know somebody maybe at work that's been through some tragedy in their lives, and it seems that they never recovered. They're kind of bitter. They feel that life is unfair. They don't understand God and all of that. And it's not because that they are evil. It's simply because nobody teaches us how to deal with these things. We go to school, we go to university, and we might have degrees, but we don't have life skills because nobody sits us down and teaches us how to efficiently deal with changes in our lives. And things in your life are going to change. If you've been on this planet long enough, you will know that things change. Everything, as somebody once said, the only constant in life is change. That's the only constant that there is. It's the good news, bad news thing. The bad news is nothing is permanent, and the good news is nothing is permanent. But it's as things change and as things transition that God wants to coach us. He wants to help us how to efficiently work through these changes in our lives. So we covered those first three. This morning we're going to cover number four and five. It's got to do with ascension. Ascension is where you let go of the old and you allow it to bless you. You let go of the old. You let go of the thing that changed, the changed form, and you allow it to bless you. That's also why some people grow bitter in life with changes, because they never allow the thing that changed to bless them. Everything that you release to God has blessing in it. That's why the Bible says, bless your enemies. When you release and let go of those who offend you and those who wronged you, there's a blessing in it. Everything that we release to God has the ability to bless it. But if you cling to it, if you cannot let go of people or you cannot let go of something in your life that happened, then you don't receive the blessing and you grow bitter and not better. And then number five is Pentecost, is where you receive a new spirit for the new phase that you are in. And I'm going to give you a scripture when we come to that. I told you last week, Sunday, we're going to deal with the death of five things in our lives. The first one is the death of your youth. The second one is the death of your wholeness, where some part of you gets fractured. The third one is the death of some dreams. The fourth one is the death of honeymoons. And the fifth one is the death of a certain idea of God or a certain idea of church. And that's going to be good, and we're going to start looking at that next week, Sunday. So let's deal with ascension this morning. So John chapter 20, you are there. Let's read from verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. This is after Jesus, after Easter Sunday, Good Friday, where Jesus was crucified, and they took him to the tomb and they laid him down there. And she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running, verse 2, to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said to her, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. Verse 3, Jesus, the other disciples, followed her to the tomb. They were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter. Verse 6, Simon Peter arrived just after him. He entered the tomb and he saw the linen cloths lying there. Verse 7, the face cloth had been around Jesus, was rolled up. It was lying in one place. Verse 9, they still did not understand the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And now we're going to come to verse 10. And from this point on, it's very interesting. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb and she was weeping. She was in her process of mourning. She was grieving. For you to successfully transition to something new in your life, you have to grieve the old. If you want to skip grieving, you disrupt the process. We grow up with nonsense like cowboys don't cry, and it's just nonsense because cowboys do cry. Men have to cry, women have to cry, everybody has to cry. You have to cry, you have to weep, you have to grieve for the old, for that which is not there and that which is not the same any longer. So she was weeping. And now you're going to see how Jesus is going to try and help her not only to grieve the old, but to adjust to the new. So she's in phase number 3, and Jesus is getting her ready for phase number 4, which is ascension, where he has to be taken away and go to the Father. So verse 12, she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus was laid. Verse 13, woman, why are you weeping? The angels asked her, because they've taken my Lord away, she said to them. Verse 14, when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, and here we go now. But she did not recognize that it was Jesus, because he was not the same Jesus any longer. He was now the risen Christ. And that's why she didn't recognize him. She was looking with old eyes. Old eyes cannot recognize the new. When God takes you into a new phase in your life, he has to give you new lenses. Otherwise, you will miss the new. Many people curse the new and they think it's the devil only because they're looking with old eyes. They're looking for the old friendships. They're looking for the old connections. They're looking for the old familiar memories in the new thing. And here's the thing. You will have to grieve because you ain't going to find it. The new doesn't have it. And that's why many people struggle to transition their lives, because it's called the fear of the unknown. So Mary was talking to Jesus and she didn't even know that it was Jesus, because he was not the same. Everything was going to be different from this point on. She only knew him as Jesus the servant, but now he's not Jesus the servant. He's not the Jesus that's riding on a donkey. He's now Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. You will never find him on the back of a donkey from miss him on forward. If you look for him on the back of a donkey, you're going to miss him. If you look for him as the one that's going to sit with you at the campfire eating fish with you, you're going to miss him. He ain't going to do that no more. He is the risen Christ now. He's not going to hang around the bride place any longer. He's not going to hang around where the party is and he's going to turn the water into wine. If you look for him in that aspect, you're going to miss him. So she's talking to him, but she doesn't even realize it's him, only because her eyes need to be touched. Verse 15, woman, why are you weeping? Jesus said, whom are you seeking? Thinking he was the gardener. Because she's looking for a servant. She said, if you carried him off, tell me where you've put him, and I will go get him. And Jesus said, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabuni, which means teacher. And now here's the thing. Verse 17, here we go. Don't cling to me. Or there are certain versions that says, don't touch me. Don't touch me. She, if you journeyed with Jesus like Mary did, We don't like it when things change. You can only imagine what the disciples went through when Jesus shocked their entire mindset of what's about to happen. In their minds, Jesus came to overthrow the Roman government. And they thought that they were kind of voting here for a political party that's going to overthrow the Romans. And he's going to have a palace somewhere on a little hill. And they're going to be his two ICs. They're second in charge people, you know. And everybody's going to receive, you know, a company donkey or a company horse. And they're going to have some perks. And they're going to rule and reign with him. And he's going to be King Jesus. And they're going to have some ranks and all of those things. They probably thought that Jesus is going to stick around. He's going to stay here. So you can only imagine what Mary went through when they took him, put him on a cross, laid him in a tomb. You can only imagine what she went through, the memories that went through her mind and all of that. So the next moment, she's in a tomb where his body is not. Immediately she thinks, you know, that, you know, the Jews or somebody hijacked him and they took him off somewhere, and she didn't like that entire concept. I mean, I'm fine with the fact that he's dead because then I can still touch him, but now he's not here. Now I cannot even touch him. The next moment her eyes opens and she realizes, but it's Jesus standing there. And the first thing that Jesus knew she would want to do was to cling to him. Don't go away. And so he has to say to her, don't cling to my resurrection. Don't cling to me, because you want to cling to me as the Jesus that you knew. Now, Mary, here's what you need to understand. You received from me certain things when I was Jesus the servant, but now I'm the risen Christ. The only way that you can receive from me as the risen Christ is if I can help you let go of the idea of who I once was. If you're going to relate to me like you always related to me, you're going to miss me now. So by saying to you, don't touch me, don't cling to me, I'm actually helping you. By saying to you, don't cling to me, I'm helping you to transition the idea that you have of me. I'm the resurrected Christ. Mary, the only way that you can receive from me in this resurrection phase is to let go of what you always thought you knew about me. So don't cling to me. Don't touch me. If I'm going to allow you to touch me, you're going to actually miss me. Because you want to touch me with an old reference of me. You want to touch me with an old version of me. I'm not that no more. I am the risen Christ. So let's make this deal. Let's make this deal. Mary, you will never relate to me like you had. Our relationship from this point on will never be the same again. Never. So let me tell you what. Don't touch me until you get it. So he journeys for 40 days. He's on this earth. He appears to people for 40 days. And then there's the day of ascension where he's taken up to the Father. And they see him being taken away from them. Can you imagine the turmoil their hearts were in? Can you imagine what they went through? Can you imagine the mental turmoil, the ideas they had of how this was going to play out? And here they see him being taken away, and 90% of the ideas that they had of how this was going to play out is blown to smithereens. And I can see the disciples standing there looking at each other with excitement but also with confusion. We knew how to relate to him when he would visit us on the seashore. We knew how to relate to him when he would come and sit with us and break bread with us. We knew how to relate to him. How are we going to relate now? And they had no choice. They had to allow him to ascend to the Father. They had to let him go. Say to the person sitting next to you, you have to learn to let it go. Only as you allow him. Now listen to this. He said, I'm going to go and then I'm going to send. Something is taken away from you, but then you receive again. I'm going to go to my Father and then I'm going to send the what? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter. If I don't go, he cannot come. If I don't go, I cannot send. If I'm not taken away, you cannot receive in this new season. Let me go. Mary, don't cling. Another phase, another spirit is trying to come. It cannot come for as long as you cling. Are you with me? With every new phase you enter into in your life, you have to receive a new spirit. And the new spirit, you cannot receive the new spirit for your new phase if you cling to the old phase. You cannot receive if you cannot let go. Whether it's people, whether it's events, whether it's certain ideas that you have of life and how life should play out. I hope that you find this inspiring. Somebody said this. For those of you taking notes, can write this down. By clinging to what once was, you cannot recognize God's presence in your new reality. I'm going to repeat it. By clinging to what once was, you cannot recognize God's presence in your new reality. You can enter into a new phase in your life and think that God is not with you for only one reason. Because you're still trying to cling to what once was. But God is in your new reality. But you can miss God in your new reality. Jesus was in a new reality after his resurrection. He's standing in front of Mary as the risen Christ. She cannot recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. Why? Because she's looking for Jesus. She's not looking for the Christ. The moment that Christ helps her to make that shift, she begins to recognize him. But then he says to her, don't cling to me because I am the Christ standing in front of you, but you want to touch me as Jesus. You're going to miss me. Some years ago, we had people joining our church because they knew me from ministering around like an ad hoc speaker. You know, churches would invite me to go and minister at their conferences. One of those churches was here in Centurion. And I would minister at the conferences 4 or 5 days. They would get me for the Easter conference and I would minister there in those evenings. And those conferences were crazy. I mean, it was just crazy in a good sense, you know, in how God used me. And many other conferences, many other places where I went, to Witbank and where all over the place. And some of the people that joined our church when we planted CLC joined me because of that Fani. And then they joined, and after a while they left. And these things came to my ears. People told me about this. They said, the reason why they left is because they say you're not the same Fani. And here's what happened. It's not me that backslided. It's not me that had less anointing. It's not me. What happened here is, as somebody who planted a church now, I moved into a different phase of my call. They couldn't face death. They couldn't let the Fani die that they once knew as the conference speaker. And because they could not let me die, they couldn't go through their moment of grief where they could cry for the fact that they won't see him no more. And because they couldn't go through the grieving phase, they also couldn't go through the adjustment phase, where they had to adjust to me in a different role. And instead of them going through death and resurrection and ascension, they would rather say, no, I'd rather leave. I can't deal with this death that I have to go through. I can't deal with this adjustment that I have to go through. So they rather leave. And the same happens in your life. People will leave your life, not because you're a bad person, not because you're evil, just because some things and some events in life changed you. And instead of them adjusting to the new you, they would rather move to a different crowd that is still familiar to them than having to adjust to somebody in their life that is a new person. Because you move to your resurrection, but they don't want to go to their grave. And you received a new spirit, and they don't know how to handle you in this new spirit that you received. And people might leave your life and they might think that you are a little bit cocky now, or you are a little bit arrogant, or you are a little bit this, or you are a little bit that, and they will exit your life and the criticism will hit you. You will find out via the grapevine what they say about you behind your back. And you eventually reach a phase where you say to yourself, you know what, I couldn't care what they say about me. If you cannot stick around in this new phase that I am in, I've been through death. I've been through my grief. I have received the spirit of this new phase that I am in. I had to release certain things to God. I had to let go of certain things and allow them to ascend, and now I'm clothed with a new spirit of this new phase that I am in. If you cannot handle me in this phase, the only option that you have is exit my life. Some people miss that. God wants to take them through resurrection, and he wants to give them a new spirit of this new phase that they are in. But it hits them so hard, the faces of the people that they see around them, that they would rather conform to what others would approve of. And so for the rest of their lives, they live in a prison. They only live according to the expectations of people around them that would never want to change, that would never want to adjust, that would never want to go through their death and their resurrection. And you are so hungry for approval and so hungry for friendship, you would rather compromise the entire process. And that's how it happens, that people grow old bitter. And they think that life is unfair. And they feel that God is a hard God because they missed their season where they could adjust and receive a new spirit for this new phase that they are in. Are you with me? And you know what? It's good that they left, because they wouldn't be able to receive from me anyhow. If you are trying to relate to Christ as Jesus, you can't receive from him in his role as Christ. They had to leave. Otherwise, they couldn't receive from me. If you want to cling to me as the old Fani, then you cannot receive from me where God has me now. Then God is only doing you a favor by letting you go somewhere else where you feel it's more familiar. CLC went through changes and through certain phases and certain challenges and certain opportunities. And if you try to cling to CLC as the CLC that you once knew, you're going to miss the bus. We're not the CLC of Clubview Corner. Get with the program. We're not the CLC that we were 10 years ago and 8 years ago, and that is good news because it means that this thing is moving. It's changing shape. But the important thing for people is can you grieve? Can you grieve what it once was? And say, God, let us release, let us let go and ascend what this will never be again, so that we can receive the spirit of what it is now. Are you with me? So the question is, what do you need to allow to ascend in your life? What do you need to let go of? And here's the other thing. Have you claimed the blessing of what you allow to let go? Have you received the blessing? Have you claimed the blessing? People that don't like you, people that's been your enemy, people that's wronged you in your life, can you let go? And as you let go, allow it to bless your life. You can only, and you're gonna see this scenario play out in almost every area of your life. We can talk about the area of relationships where you can only receive from a new relationship if you can allow the old partner or the old memories or how things once were, if you can allow it to ascend and you can let it go. Sometimes the clinging that people do in relationships is they cling to very robust and almost narrow-minded expectations of what a relationship is supposed to be like. And the question is, can you let go of your rigid mentality of what you think it should be like? And can you just accept the fact that maybe this relationship must unfold in a natural and spontaneous way and that you don't have to predict everything to death? Can you let go of some of these narrow-minded expectations that you have? Your career might go through a death of what you were doing for 15 or 20 years in your life, what you experienced in your career for 15 or 20 years in your life. And now you're at the birth of a new career, a new path, a new company. And now you find yourself in a resurrection phase, where you have to mourn the old, where you have to grieve what work will never be like anymore, what a certain career path for you will never be like anymore, and you adjust to the new thing. This is ascension. You have to let go of the old boss, the old managers, the old work colleagues. You have to let it go, and then you have to allow it to bless you because it was in your... it was in your space, it was in your life for a season, but now you release it to God, it is ascension time, and now you allow it to bless you. If you went through a divorce or a loved one passed away in your life, you have to allow yourself to go through the death of not having a partner any longer. Now you are single. And as long as you cannot accept the fact that you are single, you're postponing your own resurrection in this new phase of your life. And I've seen some single people, some single parents pushing away potential partners for one reason and one reason only. You have not fully grieved for where you come from, and you haven't fully released, let go of what once was. If you don't let go, if you don't allow it to ascend, and if you don't allow the previous thing where you come from to bless you, as you release it, you go through life a single person with some bitterness in your life. And it's the bitterness that you have, the unfairness that you experience that push the potential new partner away. So we have to release and we have to let go and then ask God to bless what I release and what I let go. And as it blesses me, it gives me a grace in my heart to accept where I am. I'm a single parent, and I can wear it with pride. I'm a widow. I can wear it with some grace. And once I've received that grace, once I've received that kind of blessing, is when there's enough room in my heart for somebody else in my life that I can receive and accept once again into my life. As a single parent or as a widow, you have to claim your resurrection. You have to claim your new life for this new phase that you are in. I think of Edith sitting here this morning with Neil, who passed away. Neil passed away how many years ago now? Two, three? It's 2 years. So Edith is a living example of somebody who was married to somebody. How many years were you married to? 38 years. 38 years with somebody. For 38 years, you're saying goodnight to someone, saying good morning to someone. You want to eat something, you want to drink something. 38 years. 38 years when you go through a tough time, there's somebody that's going to listen to your story. 38 years. And suddenly, he's not there, or she's not there. And it doesn't necessarily need to be death. It can be divorce. It can be something that happened in your life. And now there's this process where if you are not careful, you're so mad at God and so mad at life for the fact that now I'm all alone. But if you release it, there's a blessing that comes. If you can let it go, it's a blessing that comes. And it's that blessing that softens your heart so that now as a widow, there's a strength in you that when you have a friend or somebody else is losing their partner through death, there's a strength in you. There's a grace that you carry. There's a dignity that you carry where you can support someone else, where you can help someone else through their moment of grief and their moment of mourning. And help that person to work through their face to come to a place of resurrection and where they can let go of certain ideas of life or let go of the bitterness that they had in their hearts toward God for allowing this. You can help them with that and now they can receive their blessing. It's not easy. Nobody said it's going to be easy. But it's possible. At ascension, let the life that you once had with a partner, let it ascend and release it to God. And as you do, allow what once was to simply bless you. What do you need to allow to ascend? What is it in your life that you need to stop clinging to? What is it in your life that you are holding on to? The could-haves, the should-haves, the would-haves, the must-haves. Now, we're going to talk about these things in this series. We're going to talk about letting go of dreams that didn't work out the way that you wanted it to work out. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the fact that we sometimes feel that life is unfair. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that we face certain things in life and we wonder, how can God be in something that feels so cruel? We're going to talk about all these things. It's important to talk about these things. Because in all of these things, God wants to help us to transcend successfully. In any heartache in your life, God wants you to transcend that heartache successfully. And everyone's battle is significant to them, is unique to them. You know, I know people, you know, I know people that go through a financial struggle. They have a money problem. And then I know other people who's got all the money in the world, but their son doesn't want to sleep home. I'm dealing with such a situation right now. The man is a multimillionaire. If he should make a donation to this church for $1 million, he's not even going to feel it. But his son doesn't want to be at home. He walked away. So everybody's situation is unique to them. I know people who've got big money, but they've been diagnosed with diseases that no money can cure it. Count your blessings. You might not drive a Ferrari, but thank God you've got your health. That's what I tell myself every day. I might have some battles with a bank and all of this, but at least I can get on my horse because I'm healthy enough to do it. So everybody's got a situation in their lives that is unique to them. And here is the thing, and I want you to know this. Everybody's got problems. There are 7 billion people on this planet, and everybody has a night or an evening in their lives where they are not sleeping because of something. Everyone. The richest guy in this world is not exempt from trauma. Steve Jobs gave us the iPhone, but he couldn't give his daughter a father. He died a man with regrets. I don't care who you are, what your name is, and what your brand is. You're not exempt from life. It happens to everyone. And you can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and speak in tongues and think that you are a spiritual space cadet in a glow in the dark. I'm telling you right now, while you are on this earth, you will face some stuff that you won't understand how God fits into this now. If God and His plan for your life has not confused you, then life hasn't really happened to you as yet. I've lived life long enough in my short 46 years to know that every now and then there's something happens where you're confused. You don't know if it's God, you don't know if it's the devil, but you know it's happening and you hope you're going to get through it. And I'm honest enough to admit it. We also feel life is unfair, God is unfair, you don't understand this and you don't understand that. Where you work as hard as everybody else, but you don't have the same bank account. Where you preach as well as everybody else, but your church is not full. Yes, I said it. Where you feel you're as anointed as T.D. Jakes, and people don't want to come and listen. What's your battle? What's your battle? What is the thing that you have to let go of? Because we all go through something. But by clinging, by holding on to how things were or how you always hoped it was going to be, you're not helping yourself. I can only send you the spirit for where you are of if you can let go of where you once were. I can only give you the blessing of Christ if you can let go of the mentality of Jesus. What is it that you need to allow to ascend? Is it friends? Is it some family members? And have you claimed the blessing? Because the neat thing is not only do you let it go, but as it goes, it blesses you. God, I release this to you. Thank you for the blessing that comes as I allow it to ascend. Number 5. On Pentecost, you receive the Spirit. Jesus said, when I go, I will send you the Comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit. Whenever you release something to God in a new phase that you enter in, you receive a new spirit for that phase. The scripture that I want to give you is Psalms 51 verse 10. And some of you will know this. There's even a song that we used to sing in the church world many years ago. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about your spirit. And for as long as you will be on this planet, your spirit is going to need constant adjustment. You cannot enter into a new phase in your life with a spirit of a previous phase. It's conflict of interest. You're going to be confused and you're going to be bitter and you're not going to be able to deal with the fact that stuff is new and you won't know how to transcend the new things in your life. So for every new phase that God takes us into, we have to receive a right spirit for it. And if you look at the meaning of a right spirit, Psalms 51 verse 10, a right spirit means a correct spirit, an accurate spirit, a proper spirit, an exact spirit, a precise spirit, a spirit tailor-made for where you are now. So as we let things go and let it ascend, we experience Pentecost. And Pentecost refers to you receiving the spirit of empowerment for your new life or your new phase where you are in. And it's a personal Pentecost. And it's a Pentecost for a particular event or phase in your life. And you will experience several Pentecosts in your life. And the question that you can write down this morning, if you're taking notes, is, have I had my Pentecost? Have I had my Pentecost? Have I been endowed, clothed with the Spirit for where I am? When you move from one age group to another, you have to receive the Spirit of your age group. There are too many people stuck in bodies that are 70-year-old, but they still have the spirit of a 40-year-old. They're only confusing themselves. And in the world that we are living in right now, we see people that cannot, they find it hard to grow old with grace, you know. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, trying to look a little bit young and all of that. I'm talking about extremes here today. When you are 75 and you still want to look 35, there's a shortcut for this and there's a cheaper way to do it. And here is it. Receive the spirit of somebody that's 70 years old. But you can be 70 and not receive that spirit. And it's important that as we transition, you know, when you are 30, 31, 32, 33, You have to receive the spirit of somebody that's not an adolescent any longer. Too many 30-year-olds that still think that they're adolescents and they want to live like and act like adolescents. And you can't. You have to receive the spirit of somebody that's 30 years old now. When you're a teenager and you're 18 years old, the moment that you turn 19 and 20 and 21, you have to receive the spirit. Yes, they can give you the key. No, is your 21, but you can still act like a 14-year-old because you have not received the spirit of somebody that's moving into adolescence. And with every next phase that we enter into, here is Daniel and Danny and Annie. They've got a baby. They had to receive the spirit of parenthood. There are people out there that never received the spirit of parenthood. There are men out there, they are fathers, but they've never received the spirit of fatherhood. They still want to carry on like bachelors and don't take care of their families because he has not accepted the fact that he has to die to the fact that he's not single no more, that he's not childrenless no more. He's now a father. He has to die to the fact that he's not single any longer. And he has to grieve for it. It's fine. if you're going to grieve for it, that now you've got some different kind of responsibilities and blah, 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 blah. And now you really have to work hard because now there's children that you need to feed and you cannot fool around like you did when you were 22 years old because now there's greater responsibility. So yes, go and cry your heart out for the fact that you made her pregnant and now you're going to be a father. And after you cried, allow God to adjust you to this new phase. And once you've come to this new phase, there need to be ascension. Some of your friends can't handle the fact that you're not going to go with them any longer, you know, to all the clubs and all the places. And you cannot stay out until 2 in the morning. So guess what? Your ascension is coming. Your letting go is coming. Where you have to let go of some of those friends and have to let go of some of those places where you would want to hang out until 2 o'clock in the morning. If you don't do that, you cannot receive the spirit of somebody who's got greater commitment. And if you cannot deal and live with that kind of spirit, you're only going to mess up everyone around you. And that is what is happening in this world. There are women who can't let go of the fact that she's a mother now. She still wants her ladies' nights. Girlfriend, you got to let it go. Can't hang with them girls no more. Where the boys come and chat you up. You're a mother now. You have to receive the spirit of motherhood. And only once you receive the spirit of motherhood, can you really enter into that phase of your life with grace and with dignity? We live in a world where people don't want to receive the spirit for the phase that they are in. They connect as partners, but they still want to live as singles. We're going to have a rule of engagement over here. No, no, no. I come from a school that says, if you've got me, you've got me. No one else. No kind of rule of engagement, you know, friends with benefits and all of that. What is that nonsense? Here's the thing. You don't want to die. You don't want to die as a bachelor. You don't want to die as a single person. You don't want to die to all of those other things that comes with that kind of life. Let me tell you what, baby. If you want to be in my life, we have to buy you a tombstone. Die to your old girlfriends. Get into your resurrection as somebody who's getting in a committed relationship. And once you are there, let's walk around for about 40 days and let's cry. I'll be there for you, baby. I'll be there. When you want to cry about your old girlfriends, I'm going to be there for you. You have to go through your grief and all of that. But then we're going to adjust because this is the thing now. If you can't do that, don't be here. Only if you can receive the spirit of somebody who's committed, come into my life. Are you with me? Is this good? Yeah, it is good. You have to receive the spirit for the new. I close. If you're in a near career path or your business is going through a phase, you have to receive the spirit for that career change or that phase. One day I went to the horse yard where I many times sit and just pray. And I surrendered. I let go of so many things. And then I said, Lord, now I receive the spirit for the phase that I'm in. It's not going to help me try and be the pastor with the spirit of a previous phase. I need to receive the spirit for this phase where God has me. So the question is this: what is changing in your life? What is different in your life? Another question is the ground moving under your feet? Is the landscape of your life different in some way? And if you can answer yes to some of these questions, then here is the bottom line. With every adjustment and with every change And with every different in your life, allow God to open you up to receive the right spirit for that phase of your life. You can be in a new job position, but be there with the spirit of somebody that comes from a different company, with a different culture, with a different environment. And now you are there and you cannot handle anything. And the only reason why you cannot handle anything is not because the new environment is evil, but simply because you look at him as the gardener and he's actually the Christ. And you think that God is not with you in that new environment and he's there. The only reason why you don't recognize him is because you couldn't adjust. You couldn't receive the spirit of where you are now. Is this making sense to you? So, I don't know in what phase you're in. Some of us might be in a death phase where we have to die to something. Like I said last week, Sunday, you have to name your death. Others of us, we are in a resurrection phase because it's not only death, it's about resurrection. The reason why God wants to help us to allow something to die is because there's resurrection for the new phase. Maybe some of you are there. Some of you might be in that phase between resurrection and ascension, where you are grieving the old and adjusting to the new. Some of you are there. Others of you are in the ascension phase where you've been through your death, you've been through your resurrection, you really kind of settled in to and made peace and accepted for where you are now. But now you have to let go of old ideas and old paradigms. And others of you might be at the phase of Pentecost, where you are in anticipation and in expectation, saying to God, this phase that I'm in right now, I need to do it with grace. I need to do it with empowerment. And the only way that that can happen is if you give me a right spirit for where I am. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And renew a right, accurate, precise spirit for where I am. I want you to stand me. Let's pray. Stand with me. I pray for your soul to be at peace. Because there's a song that says, when it feels that everything is falling apart, just maybe everything is falling together. Just maybe everything is falling in place. You don't think it's falling in place because it's not falling the way that you planned. It's not falling according to your paradigm and to your idea. But just the fact that events in your life is not happening your way doesn't mean it's wrong. It simply means that you're not always in control as you think you are. And somebody once said, if I cannot control the wind, then I will adjust my sails. I pray for your soul that God will help you adjust your sails. I pray that God will bless your soul with peace, even though you might be in a storm. And I want to bless you with this promise that everything is going to be just fine. You are going to be okay. Nothing is sent into your life for your destruction. It's only sent into your life for your transformation. God will not allow anything to come into your life to destroy. He will only allow to come into your life to transform. And God is in an ever process of transforming you into a better version of yourself. I don't know in what phase you're in, but I pray for you. I pray for His grace to be with you. I pray for God's strength to be with you. I pray for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to be with you. If you are in your death phase, I want to thank God for His grace so that you can name your death with dignity and allow it to die what needs to die. If you are in your resurrection phase, I bless you with a faith to understand that you are in resurrection. The only reason why a grain of wheat falls in the ground to die is so that it can live with greater life. And what comes up is not a grain of seed, but a plant. I bless you with resurrection this morning. I bless you with resurrection today in Jesus' name. For those of you who are grieving, may the Holy Spirit be with you in your grief. There's nothing wrong with crying. Nothing wrong with mourning how things will never be ever again. Because the better I can cry about it, the better I can adjust myself to what is new and coming into my life. And like the Bible says, the former glory will have nothing on the latter glory. The latter glory of your house will be greater than the former glory of your house. That is why it's good to cry about the former things, because the latter things are always better than the former things. God takes you from glory to glory, never from glory to chaos. You are in a season of adjustment. May God help you with that adjustment. May His grace and His wisdom go before you. For those of you who are in the phase of your life where you have to let go, just let it go. May God grant you the grace to release and set free. Somebody once said, it's not about forgiving and forgetting, it's about forgiving and letting go. Because you're going to remember, but it's about letting go. And I know that I've really let go when I can think of it and it doesn't affect me the same no more. When the sting has been taken out of that thing. I pray that God will help you for the sting of that memory to be removed. In Jesus' name. May the sting be removed. In Jesus' name. It's not about forgiving and forgetting. It's about forgiving and releasing. You know this thing is removed when you can pray for someone or pray about something that's wronged you. So with the communion that we do in our home, we light a candle for someone else. We think of somebody else. We bring them before the Lord. This is the candle that's burning here. I bring this name before you. 2 weeks ago, I walked into somebody whose decision in their lives affected my life severely. Severely. I had a war in my heart with this person for probably two years. I bumped into his wife. How easy. His business is not doing too good. Okay. Got in my car. I said to myself, tonight when I light a candle, I'll do it for him. And that night I lit the candle for him. I brought his name before God. I took a picture and I sent it to his phone. The phone that he never wanted to answer when I wanted to call him. And the message said, me and my family lit a candle for you tonight. God bless you. the sting is removed when you can do that. Some of you are in a phase in your life where you have to receive the Spirit of where you are. Things won't be the same again. You're only stressing yourself out to try and have it the same again. Stop with that. Adjust to the new. Make the best of it. I pray for you in the name of Jesus to receive the Spirit of where you are. Receive the spirit of a man that's going through a troubling time. Receive the spirit of a woman who's a single mother. Don't fight it. That's where you are. Receive the spirit for it. Receive the spirit of somebody who's single or somebody who's in a relationship. Receive the spirit of somebody who's going through a troubling time financially. Receive the spirit of a millionaire. Otherwise, you're going to lose all the money if you do it with the spirit of a poor man where you come from. Receive the spirit for where you are. And now there's one thing that I want us to do as a congregation. I want us to release this morning. What CLC once was. We have no choice. Because there's a spirit that we're about to receive. But for as long as we cling to the old, we're blocking ourselves. Can I ask everybody in this place? Lift your hands and release CLC. Let it ascend. Every idea that you have, every concept that you had. The way that you thought it was going to be. I had to do it, now it's your turn. I release CLC, Lord. And we only release this church to you today because we wanted to bless us. Bless us now, CLC. Bless us now. We will not cling to what we once knew or what we once wanted to have. We have this faith, this trust that you know what to do when we simply give it up. Now we allow it to bless us in Jesus' name. Can I ask everyone also to say to the Lord, I receive the Spirit for where this church is right now. I want everybody, everyone is going to have their own Pentecost now. Will you raise your hands and say to the Lord, I receive your Spirit. I receive the Spirit that I need for where we are as a church. As a ministry, I receive the spirit of the new. I receive the spirit to be able to navigate myself in uncharted waters and in the unknown. We receive this morning as congregation the spirit of a church who's not in the building where they want to be. but we receive the Spirit for where we are. To do what we do with grace and with empowerment and with the presence of God on it. This is my Pentecost. I receive. In Jesus' name. What do you have to receive? Just receive it. Gloria, I bless you and your household with the spirit of a family that's going through a sick bed. Receive that spirit to go through this thing with such grace and with such inner power and with such inner force. And our faith is with you and your family. Our trust is in God with you. That there will be 100% recovery. But as you are navigating through these troubling times, we thank God that you receive the Spirit as a family. Empowerment for this phase of your life. Gloria, may there be a right spirit in you. Not that your spirit was never right, just as confirmation. May the Lord bless Roni with a right spirit as he's lying there, or wherever he's sitting right now, or whatever therapy he's receiving. Receive a right spirit. I bless you in Jesus' name. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I bless everyone under the sound of my voice with Pentecost. The Spirit for where you are in any particular phase of your life, that you will navigate and transition successfully. Where you are, what is before you. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, just high five three people around you and tell them the resurrection. Family, I love you.